Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. While in Arkansas, Nancy and I had the opportunity to go and to visit a little church that you've heard me speak about from time to time, the church that I attended when I was just a little bit older than my grandsons. I hadn't been back to Evening Shade in probably 40 years. And I remember telling you that when I was a child, that was all I was accustomed to. It was a pretty good-sized church for me. And Nancy and I, at her suggestion, she said, why don't we just go to church? She said, I want to go to Evening Shade. I want to go to the church that you talk about all the time when you were a boy. And so I said, all right, let's go. And so we did. And I'm happy to say that the church is growing. I'm pleased that Evening Shade Baptist Church is growing. They now have 6 pews instead of 4. And the place was packed the Sunday morning we were there. There was about 30 people there. And it was just a blessing to be back with people who meant so much to me. Dale Cope was my Sunday school teacher. And Dale was there and was so glad to see me, and I was so glad to see him. And of course, he reminded me and he spoke to Nancy about some of my antics in Sunday school. And you know, I wasn't a saint then that I am now. My dearest friend Buddy was there. Buddy, my age, we went to school together. We played basketball together. We shared in a lot of life experiences together. Buddy was and still is kind of one of those free spirits that, you know, you really can't, you don't know where he's coming from and where he's going. Buddy is just kind of Buddy. And my heart has been burdened for him for a number of years because he had gotten away from the Lord. He'd gotten away from the church. He'd gotten away into a lot of different things. And I was concerned about him, as you would be for your dearest friend. And it was good to see that as we went to church, their Buddy was there and taking an active role in the ministry of the church. My former pastor, I tried to find out where Porter Black was. He was the pastor of the church when I was a little boy there, and a great Bible teacher. He was a good preacher and a great Bible teacher, and I always enjoyed going to the Wednesday night studies and enjoyed his preaching. I believe that he has long since gone on to be with the Lord, but I haven't been able to track him down. But it was good to be back with the people who meant so much to me in my formative years, and they were happy to not only see me, but they were also happy that we have gone into ministry and that we have been pastoring this church now for over 20 years. They were happy to be a part of the ongoing work of the kingdom of Christ. I think it's kind of a feather, and this, don't misunderstand me, this is not a prideful thing. I think the church rejoiced in the fact that they had a hand in helping one burr-headed, snot-nosed, barefoot country bumpkin kid to know who the Lord is and to understand that God loved him and that God had a plan for his life, and that they were instrumental in helping him understand that and come to terms with that, and that he grew up to be a pastor and to serve the Lord in the church and to be a part of the ongoing work of the kingdom of God. They were happy that I had committed my life to the Lord and to his ministry. And I was happy and am still happy that they had such a great part in that coming to pass in my life. They have Old Home Week, they told me. Every November, they have the first week of November, they have Old Home Week, and they've invited me to come and to speak to them and to be with them and to share in the many things that God has been doing in our lives. And I'm privilege to be able to go and to do that, and maybe we'll take them up on that offer before very long. So we did have a good time. Not a good time away from you, but we did have a good time just taking some time to relax and to get away from things for a while and to have our spiritual batteries recharged. We enjoyed it. Thank you for the privilege just to take some time away. I want to ask you a question. How many of you here this morning plan to go to heaven? How many of you plan to go to heaven? Okay. A lot of us plan to go to heaven. Some of us know that we're going. Some of us are not so sure. But I think everybody desires in their own heart that they will go to the place that God has prepared for them when this life is over. But let me ask you another question. What do you want to do when you get there? What do you want to do? What do you want to see? What do you want to hear? What do you want to be involved with when you get to heaven? Those of you who are fairly confident that you're going to go, what do you want to do when you get there? Huh? You want to be a gardener. Amen. We know there are going to be trees in heaven. Don't you know that? There's the tree of life. Pardon? Can't cut it down. Don't want to cut it down. Absolutely. All right. Be a gardener. Somebody said what? To be a farmer. All right. See Jesus. Amen. You want to be a mechanic? Okay, you'll be a mechanic up there also. All right, someone over here? What'd you say? To see your mother and father. All right. How many of you have family over there? How many of you have friends over there? What else you want to do when you get there? Someone else? Huh? Listen to the heavenly choir. Amen. Dub's not in this service, is he? Dub was in the first service. There he is. Okay. Join the heavenly choir. Dub raised his hand. And I asked everybody, all right, those of you who want to join the heavenly choir, it's time to practice Thursday night. David said for Dub, it's at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. So. Someone else. Yes. Amen. What are you going to do for the second 1,000 years? Oh, great. Good. What do you want to do? You want to be a fisherman. There's a river of life, the crystal river that flows from the throne of God. Some folks are going to sit down and maybe put a fishing line in there, I suppose. All right? Won't be any catfish there, though, Brother Dub. Sorry. God will not allow any unclean thing to be in heaven, so there won't be any catfish there. Amen. Someone else, what do you want to do when you get to heaven? Oh, questions. A lot of things that we want to do, yes. You want to thank Him. Amen. You want to hear the choir. Without the earpieces. Amen. Amen. Some want to be rid of their crutches. Right, Joe? Right. Be rid of the wheelchairs. Be rid of oxygen tanks. Okay. A lot of things that we think about, we want to do, we want to see, we want to hear when we get to heaven. But the Bible tells us that there is one primary thing that we're going to be involved with when we get to heaven. It's found in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Take your Bibles and let's turn there. We're returning to the book of the Revelation. We've been away from it for a while, talking about the signs of the times. But now we come back to our study in the book of the Revelation. And here in chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, the Apostle John tells us what our primary occupation is going to be when we get to glory. Follow along as I read, please. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And all of God's people said, "Amen." We want to see things when we get there. I want to see some things when I get there. People that we knew in this life. I have a mother over there. I have a brother already in glory. And if my heart does not betray me, I believe that soon my father will join them on heaven's shore. And I'll be able to see them again and to speak with them again. Many of you do not know that my second oldest brother was born a Down syndrome baby. And all through his life, he never developed mentally. He never developed beyond the age of about 5 years old. He lived to be 58 before the Lord took him 3 years ago. I'm going to see him, but he won't be a Down syndrome individual. He will be whole. He will be perfect. He will be the individual that we all longed for him to be, but because of his medical condition, he could never be in this life. My mother died with cancer 23 years ago at the age of 58. I will rejoice to be able to see her again in the wholeness of her body, physical, spiritual, mental. It will be wonderful to see family members again. And many friends that I've had in this fellowship and in other places where we have been, friends that we have loved. I will see my father in the ministry once again, George Finley, who was a great preacher of the gospel. I surrendered under his ministry when I was 16 years old, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, gosh, what, 30 years, 35 years ago now, but it would be great to see George Finley again. And then individuals that I've never met, I want to spend time talking to Moses. I want to spend time talking to the man who walked in the flesh and yet sat down at the table of meeting with the Lord God. David will be there, the great king of Israel. Solomon will be there, the wisest man who ever lived. I want to talk to Isaiah, the great prophet of God who foresaw the coming of the Messiah. I want to talk to Jeremiah, whose heart broke over the sins of Israel. I want to speak to Amos, that great fiery preacher of righteousness. Noah will be there, the man who preached for over 100 years and no one repented. Jonah will be there. I want to ask him what it was like to spend 3 days and nights in the belly of a fish. There will be people that we will want to see, but there will also be things that we want to see. I've heard the testimony again and again and again of individuals who are looking forward to that mansion in glory. They want to see their mansion in glory. I want to see the great temple of heaven. I want to see that pattern that God gave to Moses to build the tabernacle here in the earth. I want to be and I want to see the great throne room of God. There will be things that we will want to see when we get there. There are things that we will want to do when we get there. Some want to sing in the angel choirs. Some will want to sit by the crystal river and refresh themselves. Some will want to sit and relax in the shade of the tree of life. Some will want to go and move in to their heavenly mansion. Some will just want to walk around and take in the glory of God's heavenly kingdom. There will be things that we will want to hear when we get there. I've got some questions too. I have a ton of questions that I want to ask. I want to ask the Lord, where did Cain get his wife? When did Jesus become aware, fully aware, of the coming crucifixion? I want to ask, was there never really any hope for Judas Iscariot? A lot of questions that I have that I want to ask the Lord. And like you, Marcella, I want to sit at the Lord's feet for a couple of thousand years. And I want to listen as the Lord reveals these great mysteries to my understanding. We'll want to see things. We want to do things. We want to hear things. But the ultimate reward for the faithful follower of Jesus Christ, the ultimate goal, the ultimate activity, the ultimate priority that we will have when we reach heaven's golden shore is to worship the Lord forever and forever. Amen. Amen. John saw a great crowd of people here in Revelation chapter 7. He saw a great crowd of people that couldn't be counted. And they were all standing around the throne of God. They came from every nation, from every language group, and from every culture group. I wish in my heart that we who call ourselves Christians would get this through our head. That we are not the only group that's going to make it to glory. Amen. There are so many groups, so many denominations, so many religious groups who believe that heaven is exclusively theirs. That no one is going to be in heaven unless they're a part of their group. There are Baptists who believe that. There are Mennonites and there are Catholics and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Pentecostals who believe that they're an exclusive group and that they're the only ones who are going to make it to heaven. Unless you're a part of their group, you're not going to go to glory. Well, they've not read the Word of God that I've read. John says that there was a great throng of people from every nation, from every tongue, from every culture group gathered around the throne of God. If Baptists do make it there, and I believe some will, they'll most likely be the ones closest to the throne of God, but only because God can't trust them at any distance. But every color, every tribe, every language, every nation will be represented around the throne of God. There'll be Baptists there, and there'll be Presbyterians there, and there'll be Lutherans there, and Pentecostals there. But you know what, dear friends? It won't matter. It won't matter. Just to be in the presence of God, gathered together in that great assembly, lifting up our voices in praise to the captain of our salvation. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Notice that they were dressed in white robes and they had palm branches in their hands. They sang the song of salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God our Father. Now John asked, who are these people? Or the angel asked John, do you know who these people are? John says, I don't know. Can you tell me? And he says, these are the ones who've come out of the great tribulation. They died for their faith. Rather than to live under the authority of the Antichrist, rather than to live under the power of the man of sin, they died. Giving their lives as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather than to deny their faith and thus avoid persecution, they lived their faith, they confessed their faith, and gave their life as a sacrifice to the true and living God. But these are not the only ones gathered in heaven. These are not the only ones around the throne of God lifting up their voices in praise. If you go back to Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, the church of Jesus Christ has been raptured to glory. Those who follow Jesus Christ will be there also to worship the Lamb of glory. They will also be there to lift up the name of the King of Kings. And together, we'll join that great throng to worship. To worship. Let me ask you another question. Do you enjoy worship? Do you enjoy worship? Do you love to lift up the name of Jesus in praise, in prayer, in song, in thanksgiving? Do you long to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, in the congregation of the saints, before the Lord to offer Him the sacrifice of praise? Does your heart desire that? Does your soul long for that? You know, there are people who don't care about worship. There are people who don't engage in worship. They'd rather be at home or up in the mountains or down at the beach or at Disneyland someplace. They'd rather be there than to stand before the Lord God in worship. They'd rather lose their voice at a ball game than to raise their voice in praise to Christ the King. They'd rather lift their hands signaling a score or a victory than to lift their hands in praise to the Lord God. They'd rather lose their money at a slot machine or on a blackjack table than to invest their money in the ongoing work of the kingdom of God. There are people who don't care about worship. There are people who don't care about lifting up the name of the Lord in praise. But I submit to you, dear friends, there are no casinos beside the river of life. I submit to you that there are no superdomes and there are no Super Bowls in glory. The saints will not gather at a NASCAR track on the back 40 of heaven, dear friends. These are all things that tantalize us and that we engage in here to pass the time of day or to do whatever it is we do to get our amusements and our entertainment. But in glory, in heaven, we'll all be gathered around the throne of God to lift up our voice in praise to Him. We will worship the Lord in glory. Who are these people? In Revelation chapter 7, who are these people gathered around the throne? Who are they who stand before the Lord God in heaven? First of all, I want you to notice that they are dressed in white robes. They are the righteous ones. They are the righteous ones. Listen to me carefully, dear friends. Listen to me. Heaven is for the righteous, not the unrighteous. Heaven is for the righteous and not the unrighteous. But it is not for those who are righteous in their own self-righteousness. It is for those who have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. We involve ourselves in all kinds of religious activities. We do all kinds of religious services and ministries. We engage in all kinds of religious ministries. And oftentimes we will do this to make ourselves look good or to make our church look good or to bring a name to our congregation or to our denomination. But listen, dear friends, the only righteousness that is going to translate from this life into the life which is to come is the righteousness of Jesus. Not our own righteousness. Our righteousness is but as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. It is only for the righteous in Jesus Christ who will inhabit that great and glorious heaven. Those engaged in spiritual rebellion against the Lord God, those who actively break His commandments, those who ignore the Lord's word and His will and His ways in this life will have no place in glory. I may have walked an aisle, I may have shook a preacher's hand and filled out a membership card, and I may have been baptized in a church, but all I got is wet if there is no fruit of right living in my life. And that's the great deception of religion today, dear friends. We have an idea, or we've been sold this bill of goods, that if I do certain things in a physical sense, in a physical way, to meet certain standards established by a religious order or by a Christian church, then I have got my free ticket to skip hell and to make it to heaven. Listen, dear friends. The scripture is very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, not by anything that I've done. Baptism doesn't save me. Preaching a sermon doesn't save me. Joining a church doesn't save me. Giving $100 and a tithe doesn't save me. Going out on a mission field doesn't save me. Being kind to another individual doesn't save me. It is by grace through faith that we have been saved, amen? And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Now the scripture is also very clear that God is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness. God is not willing that any individual, any soul should perish and go to hell. And because God does not desire for a soul to inhabit hell, He has made a way by which we could miss hell and gain heaven. And that way is through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." We must put our faith and our trust. We must live our lives following Jesus Christ. if we're to gain heaven. Amen? Thank you. I appreciate that response. I may have been raised in a Christian church. I may have been raised in a Christian home. I may have an understanding of Christian things, of Christian faith and of practice, but if there is no evidence, listen to me, if there is no evidence of Christ's likeness in me, then there is no assurance of eternal life for me. If there is no Christ's likeness in me, then there is no assurance of eternal life for me. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Paul was saying that the reason that God saved us is so that God can then begin to use us. He can begin to shape our lives and mold our lives so that people will see Jesus in us. And I would say to you, dear friends, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, but people do not see Jesus in you, then you're living a lie. Salvation has been granted so that we might be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Without Christ's likeness, there is no assurance of eternal life. Heaven is for the righteous. Notice, secondly, they hold palm branches in their hands. The palm branch was the symbol of victory. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, and that began Passion Week, the people gathered around and they laid down palm branches in front of Him. They were declaring Him the victor. They were declaring Him the victorious Messiah. He has come to claim victory for the kingdom of God. The palm branch was the sign of victory. In heaven, they hold palm branches. They are victorious. They are not victims of the things of the world any longer. They are victorious. They are conquerors in Christ Jesus. These individuals have learned the secret of spiritual victory. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What is the secret? I have died to self so that Christ might live in me. That's the secret to victory, dear friends. The secret to victory over sin is to die to self and allow Jesus to live within you. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. These past several days, there have been thousands of young people gathered together in Beijing, China, and they have been engaged in the Olympic Games. Each and every one of them has worked hard. They have sacrificed their entire lives to prepare for this one moment in time when they can reach for a bronze medal or for a silver medal or for a gold medal, that they can come back to their home country and hang that medal on the wall and be honored by their people for having competed and becoming become victorious. But dear friends, it is a medal that fades with time. It is an honor that soon passes. Back in my day when I was a kid, one of the greatest athletes of the Olympic Games was Mark Spitz, a dentist down in Los Angeles, who in the swimming events won 6 or 7 gold medals. Nobody knows who Mark Spitz is anymore. Others have taken his place. People will sacrifice their lives to gain the acknowledgement and the honor and the accolades of men, only to realize that as time passes, they fade into the history books and no one remembers them anymore. Paul says, our greatest goal, our greatest desire is not to press toward the mark of the high calling of men, but to press toward the goal of the high calling of God. These who gather around the throne of God in worship are not only those who are righteous, but they are also those who are victorious. They have laid aside the things that hinder them here that they might attain the great honor and recognition of God the Father over there. Paul writes to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." These individuals found the secret to victory. Die so that Christ might live in you. Press with every ounce of energy on toward the mark of the calling of God. Set aside those things that hinder you here and focus your attention fully on the things which are in heaven. They're all victors. They didn't think of themselves as victims and they didn't live like victims. They were victorious in Christ Jesus and they gained the victory over sin and over sickness and poverty and sorrow and persecution and death. They were challenged by trials and temptations, but they laid them aside and ran with endurance the race that was set before them, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Heaven is for the victorious in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, you'll notice that these individuals sang the song of salvation. Why? Because they were saved. They could sing the song of salvation because they were saved. Notice in verse 10, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And again, verse 12, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and forever. Amen." Listen to this, dear friends. They understood the secret of salvation. Do you want to know what the secret of salvation is? Let me share it with you. These individuals understood it. We need to understand it all also. They understood that salvation was not theirs to do and to abuse and to ignore and to play around with in this life. They realized that Jesus was their salvation. They realized that God was their salvation, not the church, not the denomination, not the ordinances, not the ceremonies, not the traditions, not the liturgies. God was their salvation. To know God is to be saved. And to be saved is to know God. In his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Salvation was never theirs to begin with. It always belongs to God. Salvation is not something that I possess. It's not something that I hold on to. It's not something that I can claim to be my own. It always belongs to God because salvation is God, and God is salvation. When you have the Lord in your life, you have His salvation in your life. If you do not have the Lord in your life, you do not have His salvation in your life. Some want to go to heaven. But they won't because they don't have Christ in their life. Some think they'll be in heaven, but only by the skin of their teeth because they know, they realize, they're not living the Christ life here in the earth. But the last time I checked, teeth don't have skin. No one is going to make it to heaven by the skin of their teeth. Everyone who graces heaven's shore will get there just like everyone else who gets there, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith, by trust, by commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're not living the Christ life, then you'll not inherit eternal life. Those in glory have forsaken their righteousness for His righteousness. They're clothed in the white robe of His righteousness. Those who are in glory are not victims. They are conquerors. They are victors. For they have found the secret to victory, and that is to die to self so that Christ might live in me. Those who are in glory have entered into a living, loving, everlasting relationship with the true and living God. They are walking with God here like Enoch. They are walking with God here in this life, and they will walk with Him all the way to glory. and they'll live with Him forever. Dear friend, there was a great throne in heaven, and around that throne there is a great multitude of people lifting up the name of the Lord God in praise. Are you going to be numbered in that great crowd of worshipers? Will you join them there in glory, lifting up the name of the Lord God in praise? God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And He rose from the dead to prove to you that salvation is in Him and in Him alone. All the Lord asks you to do is to confess with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. You will be numbered among those standing around the throne of God, lifting up your voice in praise and in worship to the Father forever. But if you have never trusted in Him, dear friend, if you have never invited Christ into your life, if you have never committed your life to follow Jesus, then, dear friend, if death should overtake you in that condition, you'll never be numbered in that great throng of worshipers around the throne of God. Everybody wants to go to heaven. What is required of you to get there is to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to speak from Your word the truth that You've given to us and to impress upon hearts and minds to put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, all of us have the desire to be rid of the trouble and the trials and the tribulations of this life and to enjoy eternity with You in heaven. Every one of us wants to go to be with You in glory. And You have made a way for us. You have provided a means by which that desire can be answered. You've given to us Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to save us. But now, Father, there is something we must do. We must trust Him. We must believe in Him. We must put our faith in Him. We must follow Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength. We must follow Jesus from this life into the life which leads us to glory. If there is one individual ready to put his faith and trust in You, then I pray at this time of decision they will come confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If there is one ready to commit her life to You, then I pray, Lord God, even now they will come and they will confess their desire to commit to Jesus Christ, to live for Him who died for them. We give You this time of decision. And we ask that You be Lord in each and every life, in each and every decision that is made during this time of invitation. Be glorified in it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me if you will. David is going to lead us in this time of decision. If your heart's desire is to be with the Lord in glory when this life is over, then I invite you, dear friend, to come and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to come and commit your life to Him. I invite you to come and become a follower of Jesus Christ today. Only those who trust in Jesus, only those who've committed their life to Him, only those who have put their faith in the Son of the living God will see Him in glory. If that is your desire, dear friend, then you come and you do what the Bible requires. You do what the Lord has commanded us. Put your trust in Jesus. As we sing, David, lead us.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.